It's Johnny B. Show, hour two. Congrats to the Tampa Bay Rays. Opening day today, they won against the Baltimore Orioles. The score was 2-1.
Woo!
Very good. Drew, I understand you are a huge, huge Tampa Bay Rays fan.
Well, look, baseball lost me many, many years ago. I try to support the local teams whenever possible. The Rays, my opinion, have not done a magnificent job when it comes to connecting with the community, when it comes to player-wise, ownership-wise, marketing-wise, but I always believe in supporting the hometown teams. The Rays just don't make it as easy as necessarily they could, but it was nice to see an announced sellout in the Trop today.
Yes, it was my understanding is that it was the bottom bowl there that was a sellout. But
I mean, how do you announce a sellout when you had to close the entire upper level? I mean, I'm not making fun. It's tough to draw a crowd on a Friday afternoon for a baseball game, but like, you're looking at an entirely empty upper bowl, and you're calling that a sellout. I don't know how that works.
So I will say this. I've been to a few games. Was it last year? I don't even know if we were allowed to attend last year. But they do tend to close off those sections anyways. But I've been to games many years ago. Opening day was one of those ones that was a sellout.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. The whole stadium was packed. And I don't know what they're doing with the upper deck seating there. I'm not sure, you know, if there's construction happening or what it is, or they just accepted defeat. But it seems like you could kind of just peel those tarps off those seats and sell them. I mean, it could be one of those things where they're not able to find enough staff to, you know, work upper booths up there, you know?
It would cost them more money to do that than it would for them to open up the upper level.
Right. Right. Oof. That's what I'm thinking. It's dark days certainly ahead, but the Rays did pull it off today. Yep. I'm rooting hard for them. And they are, you know, in their defense, they just signed Wander Franco, who's their hotshot, you know, shortstop, to a long-term deal. He's going to be the face of the Rays for a very long time. Manuel Margot signed a 2-year deal for $18 million. So it's a little different. I think this is the highest payroll that the Rays have ever had in their whole team's existence. And I think they're still at 24th as far as talent. But they got a lot of, man, they just do such a good job with drafting and developing guys in the minors. So they're a threat this year. I don't think anybody's going to come close to the Dodgers, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Their business model is so intriguing to me. They do so much with so little. And I don't know that they get the credit that they deserve for overachieving every single year like that with the budget that they've had. Now, this year, obviously, a little bit higher, therefore expectations might be. But it's an impressive team.
It is. You know, I learn a lot from just like podcasts and stuff is generally where I get my knowledge from. And there's this kid, Josh Lowe, who just got called up. Austin Meadows was an outfielder here. He got traded to the Tigers. And this kid's supposed to be, you know, a perennial all-star, maybe. So
awesome.
You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I would love to see him win a World Series before they move to Montreal. That would be nice. Yeah, we'll see. And the Lightning are playing tonight, too. It's tied 1-1.
Knotted up at 1, 14 minutes, 33 seconds left in the third period. Very tough Bruins team tonight with your Tampa Bay Lightning at home.
Now, we were kind of talking about it off air a little bit. They've really... I wouldn't call it laying down because I'm sure they're trying to win every game they possibly can, but they had a lot of, and I wonder if it has to do with them winning, you know, two Stanley Cups in a row, that they're very familiar with the process of what the end of the season looks like and how to turn it on when the postseason comes on. And, you know, they're not in the playoffs yet, but they're all but in. I mean, it would have to be a legendary fall off where they don't make the playoffs. Also, they made a lot of moves just before the trade deadline there, and you know, you got to worry about chemistry.
You do, and I think this has the look of a team that knows that they can turn on that switch once the playoffs start, and take on any team in the league. Like you said, back to back champions. Eventually, you're gonna know that the regular season is pretty much meaningless. So you know, maybe you short time it a little bit, maybe you half ass it a little bit, and I think we've seen that result in a couple of games. But like you said, the chemistry issue, some of those guys that we got rid of were key guys for us in our Stanley Cup playoff run. But I have full faith that with this roster the way that it is and Coach John Cooper being who he is, I think this team is poised to make another run. And how exciting is that?
It's great. I mean, three Stanley Cups. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're in dynasty status at that point. And very few teams have done that. There have been a lot, but it's been in like 1916.
Right.
When it did happen. And I think maybe the Oilers or the Rangers did it too in like the 90s or something like that, or late 80s. But I mean, it's a feat that not many teams are able to accomplish. It's very hard to win a championship in any, you know, any sport.
Yeah, to go back-to-back-to-back in today's NHL, man, huge.
For sure. Is it too early to talk Buccaneers?
I don't think so.
Johnny and I talk a lot of Buccaneers. Johnny's a super fan. I'm just right behind him, I would say. And DraftKings Sportsbook came out with their over-under win total for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive, I got to say. They got them at 11.5 for the season.
That sounds about right.
That is, that's 1.5 games lower than the Buccaneers had in 2021, but they have a really tough schedule.
Super tough.
They got a lot of games that they're going to have to, you know, scrap it out. Although, I think they're still the favorites in the NFC. I can't think of a team, you know, you say Green Bay maybe, and let's see what they do at the draft. Maybe they pull out some sort of trade, but Davante Adams isn't there. He doesn't have anybody. Aaron Rodgers has nobody to throw to.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know who in the NFC is really up there, aside from, of course, the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, it's a long season, and it's hard to stay healthy and you know, play to your ability for that full season.
It's going to be very interesting to see how Todd Bowles handles the head coaching duties this time around. He's got a much better team than he had up in New York when he was the head coach up there. Obviously, Brady calls the shots there, and that's why he had Bruce Arians pushed out, in my opinion. But I am anxious to see how Leftwich does with Brady and how Bowles does with this team.
You know, that I was going to ask you what you thought about those reports where he was going to come back if, you know, these certain qualifications were met and the Buccaneers went, yep, whatever you need. Now, I don't know if I buy, you know, that whole thing. I don't know. It's hard to tell because it seemed like that Bruce Arians was the head coach of this football team, although they did have the owners meeting and the combine, and from reports, he wasn't as active as he usually is during those things with interviews. So maybe it was one of those things where he was planning to kind of step aside. He seems like one of these selfless, you know, guys to a certain extent where he wants to set up. And I think his legacy in the long run is diversity.
Definitely.
And he wants to make sure that he brings people of color into the league and have them succeed. As you brought up, Todd Bowles took over a terrible Jets team and didn't do very well there.
Mm-mm.
There's certainly no excuses for Todd Bowles not to succeed here in Tampa Bay. And he doesn't have to worry about the offense, really, because you're right. He's handing it off to Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich and saying, go nuts.
You know, and the downside of believing the Tom Brady conspiracy that he had something to do with the early ouster of Bruce Arians is that it does diminish from the legacy of diversity that Bruce Arians wanted to leave behind. And so I don't want to believe that Tom Brady had anything to do with it. I suspect that he did, I don't think we'll ever really know. But at the end of the day, Bruce Arians' record when it comes to promoting women and minorities is exceptional. And for him to help the Buccaneers have only the third current black head coach in the NFL, that's a pretty huge move no matter what was behind it.
Yeah. There was, now I'm sure you're aware of the rumors as well that Tom Brady was allegedly, potentially, maybe going to take down to Miami, go down to Miami and become an owner.
Right.
Now, Mike Florio, the NFL's top guy, which I don't know if you could call him that anymore with how he's bungled this Tom Brady stuff, but he claims in a new report that when he retired on February 1st, that his first move was coming into focus. It said that per multiple sources, who that is, I don't know. That's what they do in reporting now.
Oh, yeah.
They just say multiple sources. Brady eventually would have been introduced as a minority owner of the Dolphins, and the announcement would have been made as soon as the following week, which was the week that preceded the Super Bowl. When they reported that on February 28th, the Dolphins planned to pursue a Sean Payton-Tom Brady package deal. The Dolphins privately acknowledged that they had contacted the Saints about the possibility of hiring Sean Payton, and as to Brady, the Dolphins privately acknowledged that they had been discussions about Brady becoming a minority owner of the team and also the quarterback of that team. So he's going to be the owner quarterback combo.
that's a very rare combo in today's NFL.
That's a lot of work for a guy. Well, I don't know. Is it? Do you have to do anything as the owner? It seems like you just kind of write checks and show up.
Yeah, but Brady's such a hands-on guy. He's got to have a lot of say in any moves that he makes. And I just think it's just so unbelievably special that we have that guy back for another year doing things that an NFL player of his age has never done before.
I was embarrassed, Drew, by how emotional I got over Tom Brady coming back. I kind of teared up a little bit. I think the last time I cried was when my bubby died.
Yep.
And that was almost 10 years ago now. And I didn't cry, but I got a little misty a little bit. And it was so out of the blue. I mean, you just didn't expect it. And mm-mm. I got the news from my father, actually.
Oh, wow.
Tim is not a sports fan. He's gotcha. A very casual kind of, you know, guy. He's also a boomer. And he, you know, will sometimes read memes and go, oh, that's what's happening now. So I got a text from him that, hey, Brady's coming back. And I went, no, he's not.
Right.
That's insane. You saw a meme on Facebook. And no, that's not true. And then I opened up Twitter. Sure enough, the first article I see from Fox is that Tom Brady was returning.
Unreal.
And I may have had a few drinks that day, too, so I might have been a little extra emotional. But it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was embarrassed. I felt like the girl that you love has decided to come back to you. It was a similar feeling, not a one-for-one, but a very similar feeling. And I'm so psyched to have him, too. It's amazing.
Well, I'm sorry about your bubby. That's a rough one. I don't have any grandparents left myself. I was a Tom Brady fan when he was with New England. I grew up a Patriots fan. And when the rumors started flying about him coming down here, it was so difficult for me to believe because it was like a pipe dream. It was like, don't tease me with this. So when it finally happened, it still doesn't even feel real. Like, I'll see him out there in the pewter and still go, is this even real that we have Thomas freaking Brady?
And it is.
It is.
I can't believe it either. That was so, even when that happened initially, that was so unexpected. And then Gronk decided to come here, mm-hmm. and then Leonard Ford, and I was just like, we're going to win a Super Bowl. I just knew it. And then the season didn't really start off, you know, mm-hmm. that great.
And you were 7-5,
like,
right?
You're kind of like, all right, well, we got 2 years. That's all right. We'll be all right. And, you know, they won it that first year. And, man, they could have went back-to-back so easy. If just
easily.
A few things went differently. If Sean Bunting didn't slip on that play, you know, who knows if Todd Bowles didn't call that, you know, that we just left the whole top of the field open like that with Cooper Kupp. That's
Ndamukong Suh just gets his hand just 3 inches closer to Matthew Stafford's face.
Yeah. There were so many things. And God bless the Bengals. You know, terrific franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I love their quarterback.
Yep.
But, I mean, you just got to think if they were able to sneak past the Rams, that they would have taken home that second trophy.
No question. And then we'd be looking at a three-peat for the Buccaneers as well as the Bolts.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Like, if he won the second one, you know,
would
maybe he would have walked away. But I don't know, because with this report, I think that's probably true. That he was going to become some sort of minority owner. I know he's building a house down there. He's got, you know, I'm sure, you know, they all wanted to. Michael Jordan's a part owner. You know, that's just what you do when you become a legendary player like that. I wouldn't be surprised about that. With the report of him becoming quarterback of the Dolphins, though, that seems like, because he kind of just glosses over, like, oh, they would have, you know, obtained his rights. The Dolphins would have, and, you know, that's easier said than done. I think, though, that if Tom went to the Glazers and said, hey, man, you know, I got you a Super Bowl. It's been a great time here in Tampa, but I would like to finish my career as a minority owner and quarterback of this franchise. They probably would have said, thank you for your service, Tom.
Sure.
You're welcome back anytime. And goodbye.
Just like when he went to him and said, you know, I'd love to come back, but this Bruce Arians, he is a huge pain in my ass. What can we do about this, Mr. Glazer?
You know, I'd heard reports, and I think it was on Rick Stroud's podcast. He's a writer for The Times. And according to Rick Stroud, Bruce was kind of taken aback by those. He was really angered by those reports because he claims that him and Tom had a, you know, nothing but great relationship. Mm. But could it have been one of those things where Bruce didn't know that they had a bad relationship. According to him, it was great. But maybe behind closed doors, you know, when him and Byron are talking, you know, they're calling this guy a son of a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, when Bruce publicly went at Brady a couple of times that first year, you know, Arians might think they're cool, but that kind of stuff, I truly believe, that stuff does not go away with Tom Brady. I think that kind of stuff gets under his skin and kind of stays there for a little bit.
And I mean, you know, this is all speculation, obviously. We're just chit-chatting here.
We know nothing.
You would think that having Tom Brady, and I think that Bruce Arians trusts his coaches. I think he probably trusts Byron Leftwich. Just you guys take care of the offense.
Yep.
You do your thing. You know, it was my understanding that Bruce Arians didn't stay and write scripts afterwards. He had Todd Bowles do all that anyways, you know, pretty much the game prep. And he would kind of come over and kind of mark it with what he didn't like and what he did like. I could see that being an issue if you're kind of working with in a team like that where you're like, okay, well, we spent the time, you know, doing this, and you're the professor who kind of comes to come in and grade it and collect a paycheck.
Yep.
So he wasn't – it seemed like he wasn't even really coaching anyways.
Right.
That Todd was taking care of the defense. Tom and Byron were taking care of the offense, but then he would kind of make his corrections. So I think he did the right thing. I'm happy to still have him here, too, as a consultant. I assume he's just going to sit in a suite and drink Crown Royal. God bless. It sounds like a hell of a time.
Sure does.
I'm excited for the season. I think we're it's a tough, you know, you don't know. But I think it's going to go very well for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, imagine what it would be like if Tom Brady does not sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like what this team looks like going into training camp.
Garbage.
Awful.
I assume that I go, well, look, this is the penance that we've paid, and we got a Super Bowl, and we had Tom Brady, the greatest ever play the game, play here in Tampa. It's going to be a tough decade, is what I assume, because they pushed, and they're doing it again now, kind of pushing the salary cap, kicking that can, you know, down the road.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it's going to be worth it. I think when you have Tom Brady, you got to go all in, do everything you can. The rough times are going to come, but let's just enjoy this year because it's going to be fun.
Win now. Like the